musicians. Boy, a lot of songs about Thanksgiving. I guess I'll have to change my sermon and talk about Thanksgiving now. So. One day in church, members were praising the Lord and giving thanks for all he had done in their lives that week. Mr. Smith said that the roof of his house had caught fire, but fortunately, a neighbor had seen it, and the possible disaster was averted with only minor damage. A minute later, a woman stood up. "I have a praise and a thanksgiving too," she said. "I'm Mr. Smith's insurance agent." Thanksgiving Day is a holiday celebrated primarily in the United States and Canada. And traditionally, it has been a time to give thanks to God, friends, and family. Currently in Canada, Thanksgiving is celebrated on the second Monday in October. Although the original Act of Parliament references God and the holiday was celebrated in churches, the holiday today is mainly celebrated in a secular fashion. The Bible gives us many reasons to give thanks. Other sources tell us that the worship most acceptable to God comes from a thankful and a cheerful heart. And the most important prayer in the world is just two words: thank you. We have so much to be thankful for, but many times we forget our blessings and we neglect to be thankful. Here's a story Richard J. Fairchild tells. One afternoon, a shopper at the local mall felt the need for a coffee break. She bought herself a little bag of cookies, and she put them in her shopping bag. She then got a line for coffee, found the place at one of the crowded tables, and then taking the lid off of her coffee and taking out a magazine, she began to sip her coffee and read. Across the table from her sat a man reading his newspaper. After a minute or two, she reached out and took a cookie. As she did, the man seated across the table reached out and took one too. This put her off, but she didn't say anything. A few minutes later, she took another cookie, and once again, the man did so too. Now she was getting a bit upset, but she didn't say anything. And after a couple of sips of her coffee, she once again took another cookie, and so did the man. She was really upset by this, especially now that there was only one cookie left. Apparently, the man also realized that only one cookie was left. And before she could say anything, he took it, he broke it in half, offered half to her, and proceeded to eat the other half himself. Then he smiled at her, and putting the paper under his arm, he rose and he walked off. Was she steamed? Her coffee break was ruined. Already thinking ahead how she would tell of this offense to her family, she folded her magazine, opened her shopping bag, and there discovered her own unopened bag of cookies. I like that story. It makes me think about how well God is treating me, even when I'm not treating him that well or thinking that kindly about him. It also makes me think about how sometimes I don't really appreciate what I have, nor do I act like I know where it came from. Not so long ago, famous people all over the world were polled by a magazine which asked them this question: if you could be granted one wish that will come true right now, what would it be? What would you wish for? There were some very interesting responses, but one response impressed the magazine editor so much that they commented on it. And that response was this: I wish that I could be given an even greater ability to appreciate all that I already have. I'm so thankful that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I'm so thankful that I will be with the Lord for all eternity, where no awards are given for doing good, because doing good will be an everyday occurrence of all people. It will be the norm and not the exception. I'm thankful that the Lord is teaching me day by day what really is important in this life. I'm thankful that if I should die tomorrow, I'm ready and I'm willing. I'm thankful that the life I've had, for the life I've had and the people that have made this life wonderful and meaningful. I'm so thankful that I know that I will be with the Lord when I leave this place called Earth, not because of anything I have done, but because of God's gracious love for all of mankind and the redemption found in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And yet, I see bitter, unhappy people everywhere, and they remind me of how I was those many years ago before I came to know the Lord, even though I never thought that I was bitter or unhappy. I see so many people walking and following the wrong path. And I guess one of the things I've learned since I became a Christian is this. We can blame the media. We can blame the social environment that we live in. We can blame political decisions. But when it really comes down to it, God has given us free will. And it is my personal choice how I react or what I choose to believe in. And for this, we're all accountable to God. Many times we tend to grumble and forget our blessings. Like this story I read about a pastor of a little church in a small town who became exceedingly discouraged, and he brooded over his trials so much to such an extent that he became a chronic grumbler. He found fault with his congregation because he imagined that they didn't treat him very well. A brother minister was invited to assist him for a few days in a series of special services. And at the close of the morning service, this unhappy brother invited the minister to his house for dinner. While they were waiting alone in the parlor, he began his unhappy story by saying, "You have no idea of my troubles. And one of the greatest is that my brothers and sisters in this church treat me very badly." And the other responded with the following questions. "Did they ever spit in your face?" "No, they haven't come to that." "Did they ever whip you?" "No." "Did they ever crown you with thorns?" The last question he could not answer, but he bowed his head thoughtfully. And the other continued, "Your master and mine was thus treated. And all his disciples fled and left him in the hands of the wicked. Yet he opened not his mouth." The effect of this conversation was wonderful. Both ministers bowed in prayer and earnestly sought to possess the mind which is in Christ Jesus. And during the 10 days meeting, the discontented pastor became wonderfully changed. He labored and prayed with his friends, and many souls were brought to Christ. Some weeks after, an elder of the church wrote and said, "Your late visit and conversation with our pastor has had a wonderful influence for good. We never hear him complain now, and he labors more prayerfully and passionately." The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is telling new Christians how they should live. And he writes, "Give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Think about those words. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How could any one of us do that unless we have the mind of Christ, unless we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us? It's more natural to complain in our miseries than to remember God's grace. When we're feeling struck down by some affliction, or we're angry at someone for doing something that seems to us to be thoughtless, we have difficulty feeling grateful to God for the circumstances that we are in. Instead of wanting to praise God or to pray to Him about the situation with thanksgiving, we want to feel sorry for ourselves and the trouble that we are in. Sometimes the darkness overtakes us so much that we cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel, like this Army Airborne Ranger who was learning to parachute. The sergeant barked out the orders. 1, jump when you're told to jump. 2, count to 10, and then pull the ripcord. 3, if the first chute doesn't open, pull the second ripcord. 4, when you land, a truck will take you back to the post. When the plane got over the landing zone, the soldier jumped when it was his turn. He counted to 10 and pulled the ripcord. Nothing happened. He pulled a second ripcord. Nothing happened. Oh, great, he complained to himself. I bet the truck won't be waiting for us either. Give thanks in everything. More easily said than done. And we cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes in Colossians in chapter 1, verse 22, yet now has Christ, the Messiah, reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his Father's presence. Our joy is found in Christ. And that is the confidence that God wants us to have every day. In her book, 7 Things That Steal Your Joy, Joyce Meyer says this, we have to be careful not to secretly believe that God's favor is based on our good behavior. When we take on a self-righteous attitude, we begin to think that we deserve something from God. And then when trials or difficulties come into our lives, we think, well, how could God let this happen to me after all these years that I've served him? If deep inside we secretly believe that we deserve something from God that we're not getting, we'll become resentful, and then we won't be bold in standing before him. Instead, we will fall into excessive reasoning, trying to figure out why we lost our blessing. Blessings are stolen, not lost. The word clearly says that the devil is a thief who comes to steal from us. We keep our joy in spite of any loss because we're confident in God's promise to care for us. We can remain joyful because we know that we do not lose God's provision because of imperfections. We are righteous in Christ, and he remains constantly in right standing with God on our behalf. So do we have this joy, or are we complaining all the time and forgetting our blessings? Do we trust in Christ or our own works? Listen to this story. 2 kids sat down for lunch. One opened his lunchbox and he began to gripe. Baloney again? This is the 4th day in a row. I'm sick and tired of bologna. His friend said, well, I bet if you just tell your mom you don't like bologna, she'll fix you something else. Mom, replied the first kid, I fix my own lunches. So do we fix our own lunches in this world and then complain? Or do we have a faith that is thankful in everything? It's something to think about, especially when we consider the power of thanksgiving and how not only are we blessed or rewarded for it, but so is God and all those around us. All people have reason to sing for joy. And though we're not always singing, we should be always giving thanks, even in trials and afflictions and for all things. A Christian's life should be a life of constant joy, and we would rejoice more if we prayed more. If we pray in all occasions, we will be thankful in everything. Because giving thanks blesses the person who is thanked, and it transforms the person who is giving thanks. It works the same way everywhere, with everyone, even with God, when we remember. But when we forget, hard things become even harder. When we allow the situation we are in to swallow us up, and to swallow all thought of God's power and goodness up, when we begin to think We have earned and deserved all the good things that we have. And when we forget that God is able to help us in the midst of all the bad things that occur, well, life becomes more depressing, and true virtue becomes harder to find. God wants us to celebrate His love. God wants us to give thanks in everything. God wants it because it will bless us and it will bless the world that He has made. He wants us to remember what He has done so that we will not be afraid when we are in need of help, and so we won't grow arrogant or rude when we're prospering. He wants us to remember and give thanks to Him and all those around us, so that our lives will be full of light and hope, and our actions will be full of tenderness and love. As the psalmist declares, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to His name. When we lose sight of all we are to be thankful for, little things can agitate us. We become frustrated and even angry at things that happen or things people do or say. But when we're full of God's joy, we have a peace that passes all understanding. We really do. So do you want to fall into the trap of making this world a more miserable place to live? Or when things happen, will we handle them with joy? A young woman's car stalled at a stoplight. She tried to get it started, but nothing would happen. The light turned green, and there she sat, angry and embarrassed, holding up traffic. The car behind her could have gone around, but instead the driver added to her anger by laying on his horn. After another desperate attempt to get the car started, she got out and she walked back to the honker. The man rolled down his window in surprise. "I'll tell you what," she said. "You go start my car and I'll sit back here and honk the horn for you." Our daily prayer should be, "God, I need you in everything I do. Apart from you, I can do nothing." God holds the universe together. Everything in the world is supported and upheld by the power of His word. And if He can keep all that together, surely He can keep our lives together. Psalm 103, verses 12 to 14 says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we were formed. He remembers that we are dust." God removes all that makes us unrighteous, our transgressions, and He sends it as far away as the east is from the west. So how far is the east from the west? A long, long way. God knows our weaknesses, and He remembers that we are but dust. We put a lot more pressure on ourselves than God would ever put on us. Joyce Meyer tells this story. "When my son was small, he decided to do something nice for me. He got a bowl of water, and he went out on the porch. Soon he came to me and said, 'Mummy, I washed the windows for you.' The porch was wet. He was wet. The windows were all smeared up. But he did it because he loved me." God reminded me of this one time. He said, "Do you remember what you did afterwards? You sent your son off to get cleaned up and then went and cleaned up his mess while he wasn't looking." God showed me that He does the same with us. God is aware of our imperfections, and He receives what we do out of love for Him. He will cover our tracks, clean up our messes, and hide them so that we won't even realize what a mess we've made. He does this because we are in Christ, Christ is in Him, and He is in us. I don't know what you're going through in your life right now, and I'm not saying that your problems or your battles aren't legitimate, but there's a Savior that loves you so much, and He wants to help you through them. There's a Comforter that you can turn to for help. There's a Father who loves you as His own child. Our problems aren't going to go away. That's part of life. But it's our choice how we handle these problems. The hurt won't go away, because the hurts are real. But here's a story that Clara Null writes, perhaps of how God helps us through. It was one of the worst days of my life. The washing machine broke down. The telephone kept ringing. My head ached. And the mail carrier brought a bill that I had no money to pay. Almost to the breaking point, I lifted my one-year-old into his high chair, leaned my head against the tray, and I began to cry. Without a word, my son took his pacifier out of his mouth and stuck it in mine. Jesus wants to ease our pain and give us joy. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If God asks, "Why should I let you into heaven?" the only right answer is, "Because I am in Christ." If God asks, "Why should I answer your prayers?" the only answer is, "Because I am in Christ." If God asks, "Why should I help you?" the only right answer is, "Because I am in Christ." There are many religions in the world that claim to have answers and to show you how to work your way to heaven. But Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus doesn't claim to be one of the ways, as many would have us believe, because following anyone or anything other than Jesus will actually keep you out of heaven. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's not complicated, it's simple. Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." What a wonderful and merciful God we have. We are not saved by works, but by faith, so that no one can boast. How amazing is God's wonderful grace that I, even I, am forgiven. How perfect is God's love that his Son would willingly leave heaven to come to earth in human flesh and receive the wrath of God the Father on Calvary for my sins. The wrath that I so much deserve. That Jesus took my place so I may be made without blemish in God's sight. How great is our God. If Hannah would come forward, make herself ready, I'll conclude by reading Psalm 30. "I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Please stand, and we'll close with How Great is Our God. God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise, for only you are worthy. Lord, we leave here this morning hopeful and prayerful that we will put you first. We're thankful that we can turn to you for all things. Lord, help us to remember that you are our Father. You truly are our Father. Father, help us to show your love to all we meet, to act like Christians, to act like your children. Father, we pray that we will, by anything we say or do, not turn anyone away from you. But Father, help us to love them as you have loved the world. Father, we give thanks for you on this Thanksgiving day, but mainly we give thanks to you every day for our salvation, for the wonderful love of Jesus. Amen.